Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply the cemetery. The cemetery. Now, although the cemetery is not a popular place, it's certainly very necessary. Obviously, it's the place where we go to give a final resting place for the dead. And many put tombstones above the markers of the grave so they'll know not only the name of the person, but the when they were born, when they passed away. And typically, there's a sentence or two just describing who that person was in life. So, my friends and neighbors, the cemetery has a functional purpose because it commemorates and displays and helps us identify the dead that have been buried. Now, in a spiritual sense, there is also another type of cemetery. This is where we bury the things in our lives that don't belong. It's when we put to death all those things that hinder us and hold us back. You remember the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:8 that we should put to death anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication from our mouths. Then we discover in Ephesians 4:31 that we should also put to death bitterness and evil speaking and malice and other things, my friends, that hold us back. Yes, my friends and neighbors, there is a reason to bury things in our lives that don't belong, that don't help us, and that don't help those around us. In the TOMB acronym, T-O-M-B, we're going to outline 4 things that should be buried in the life of every Christian. And for those who've not yet to bury it, we'll discuss how to do so. That first one, that T, reminds us that we must bury timidity. Now, my friends, if you don't know what that word timidity means, it's where we get the word timid from. It's simply a combination of fear and passivity. This is a trait that makes one fearfully frozen. They don't move as they should because they're afraid of all that can go wrong. Well, the beautiful part about our lives, my friends and neighbors, is that this new life in Christ exempts us from having to live a life in fear. We can be free from fear. Remember, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then we discover in 1 John 4:18 that there is no fear in love. Why? Because perfect love drives out fear, because fear has torment. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we don't have to be afraid of anything. Why not? Because all we have to do is rest on the promises of God, trust in the protection of God. He's given his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. We discover in Psalms 1 that whatever we do will prosper. And we also discover, like David said in Psalms 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yes, my friends and neighbors, there's no reason for us to walk around in doubt or disbelief. God is on our side, and because he is, we cannot lose. I tell you, my friends and neighbors, if you're wondering how you put to death fear, obviously, of course, as the Bible says, we walk in perfect love. But let me give you 3 key recommendations. They are preparation, separation, and determination. Yes, my friends and neighbors, the more prepared I am for every single day by studying the word of God, listening to him and his men and women, and understanding how to walk and operate in his power, the less afraid you become. Also, separation, removing ourselves from those individuals who mean us no good, who always want to say the negative things to us that keep us in an environment where we don't grow and prosper. Then determination, making up your mind to say no more, not today, not tomorrow, not ever again will I fear. I am free from timidity. I'm going to put a headstone up. I'm going to commemorate it. I'm going to celebrate the fact that fear no longer has dominion over me. Then the O in our TOMB acronym, my friends, reminds us that we must also bury overreaction. Think about it. It seems like there's always a knee-jerk response if we want it to be, and we can overreact about all types of things. We don't have to. The disciples overreacted in Mark 4:38 when Jesus was asleep in the ship, and there was a bad storm. They woke him up and they said, "Master, don't you care that we're about to die?" They really believed that they were going to die. And sometimes, my friends and neighbors, we overreact. We put too much into something. We go too far. We may go overboard because of our overreaction. We don't have have to do that. I say that one of the greatest things about spending time with God is he would teach us how to be calm in every circumstance. I know there is a 911 operator that I know who told me about a woman who called them every single day with the most trivial things. She dialed 911 if a cat was up a tree, if there was a power outage, if there was a tornado warning, if kids were riding their bikes in the middle of the street. She called 911. If two kindergartners were fighting across the street in their own yard, she would call 911 and say the police need to come and break it up. See, she overreacted over everything. But we don't have to overreact, my friends. We can bury overreaction. Why? Because we have the power of the Spirit of God to handle every situation. Don't we recognize, my friend, that God is going to assist us and he's going to make sure that everything we need is provided? There's no reason to overreact. Think about the situations you've been in before. You made it through those. You'll make it through this. God guided you through the last one. He'll guide you through the next one. He had to often remind the children of Israel how good he was so that they would not overreact. That M in our tomb acronym simply reminds us to bury our mistakes. You see, Paul says something profound in Philippians 3:13. He says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. My friends and neighbors, there are so many people who've yet to forgive themselves. They're beating themselves up about mistakes they made, things they said, ways they behaved out of character, and it bothers them so much they've yet to move on. But just like Paul, we can bury mistakes by forgetting those things which are behind. We can forgive ourselves, we can forget about it, and we can move on to the next time and do it better the next time we have an opportunity. Yes, my friends and neighbors, I challenge you to bury those mistakes. What is it that you've been holding on to? Have you buried all those mistakes and forgiven yourself and moved on? I challenge you, my friends and neighbors, to put those past mistakes in the cemetery and then right next to it also place bad habits. That's the B in our tomb acronym, from poor time management to non-existent follow-up to over-promising, under-delivering to whatever you have, whatever challenge it might be. We all have become victims of bad habits, but God tells us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And whatever we resist, we weaken. That simply means that if you have habit is getting up on time, you don't want or going to bed on time, you can overcome that bad habit, my friends and neighbors, simply by exercising the temperance on the inside of us. Remember, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that amongst the fruit of the Spirit is temperance or self-control. We've got the ability to control ourselves. My friends and neighbors, we can bury bad habits, we can bury mistake, overreaction, and we can also not bury the art of being timid. That's all the time of yours I'm going to take today. Until we talk again on tomorrow, God bless you, God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.